Good morning. Please rise as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Blessed be the God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given us entrance to the living hope of the resurrection. God has given us an inheritance that is imperishable and unfading.
In this we rejoice, even when we suffer trials.
Although we have not seen Jesus, we love him, and although we have not seen him, we believe him. For the outcome of our faith is the salvation of our souls. And please remain standing for the first hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. However, don't turn yet. It's page 113. The number in the bulletin's wrong. So it's hymn number 113. God has been made known to us in deeds of power, signs, and wonders. It will not abandon us if we confess the truth about our lives. Please join me in doing so. Creator God, we confess that at times we are skeptics. At times we doubt that you exist because of the evil we have seen in the world. Oppression, marginalization, and plain hate still plague our world, and it is hard to see your love and light. Sometimes, even those who bear your name do not walk in your ways. Help us to see your goodness in this world. Help us to know your love.
Fill us with your love and goodness, so that we might love one another
and lift up one another in faith. Amen. The psalmist says, I am sure I shall see the goodness of our God in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Know that you do not wait alone. God has given us one another for this journey of faith to help one another. Know that you do not wait alone. Christ is with us. Be encouraged and encourage one another. Go and share the good news. In Christ we are forgiven. May the peace of the Lord be. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Okay, now if you would share that with a wave or a nod. Although, pray with me first. Guiding God, send your Holy Spirit upon the reading of your word that it may serve to show us the path of life and lead us into your presence where there is fullness of life. Amen. Okay, so this morning I'm reading from the Gospel of John. I am reading from the Pew Bible. It's page 115, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
Wow. What an amazing story. Huh? Jesus. Quick story. I had never, ever heard that hymn until I got to Indiana with my first call. And at first, I was like, what is this all about? And by the time I got to Mount Gilead, my second call, I was in love with it. So thank you. Thank you, choir. It was so much fun to hear you sing that. I mentioned earlier, this is the second Sunday of Easter. Easter is not just last Sunday. That's Resurrection Day. Easter is actually a full season, which is why we're leaving the cross up and the flower wreath, and we'll have these things up until the end of May. It's a six-week-long season, longer than Advent, as long as Lent. And that's a good thing because it is a time for joy. It is a time to express our love for Christ in an amazing way. And it won't end until the last Sunday of Easter, which also is known as Pentecost, 50 days after the Resurrection Day. So what I'm going to read today comes to us from the second half of Luke, which we call Acts. And it's something that has happened on Pentecost Day. You see, back in those days, Pentecost was and still is for the Jewish people a festival that they celebrate. So listen now to part of the Pentecost story, which is part of the Easter story. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you know yourselves, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.'" Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his own descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption." This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received him, received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that both you see and hear. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. It is a joyous season for us. But still, we know what happened. We don't know why, though. Why did a young man arm himself with the kind of weapon that blows people apart, then walk into his place of employment and kill five of his co-workers last week? His distraught mother told the 911 dispatcher that he was a good kid. Later, that family shared with the media that the boy, young man rather, had been struggling with depression. And now, news reports state that his brain is being examined post-mortem to see if the young man was suffering from a neurodegenerative disease that could cause such terrifying outbursts. A disease that happens from concussions and hard hits to the head. And sadly, it's a disease that can only be diagnosed during an autopsy. It's all hard to believe, but there can be no doubt that those five people are no longer on this earth. Events like this cause people to wonder, is hope gone? Where is God during times like this? And some even doubt that there is a God. Violence painfully cuts our hearts to the core. And like the blood which drains from wounded bodies, our faith in God can drain from our hearts, allowing doubt to fill the void. I suspect this is most pointedly true for those who witness a killing, be it today or 2,000 years ago when Jesus was nailed to the cross and pierced with a sword. Jesus had died there in Golgotha. So the 11 thought that what the women had seen at daybreak that morning was highly doubtful. The disciples still felt the emptiness of his death in their hearts. It was as if God was nowhere near. Seeing Jesus on this third day was just as doubtful as what the crowds experienced on that festival day in Jerusalem 50 days hence. Windstorms may well sweep through that city, but no doubt those speaking in tongues had to be drunk on wine. God's Holy Spirit, not even close. The people were stressed, and that day was a holiday after all, or so the onlookers thought. Where was God in that time? In John's gospel, we heard that Jesus, the Son of God, appeared to the disciples in that locked room where they'd been hiding. A locked room. What were they afraid of? The religious authorities? The Roman guards? Perhaps, if he really was alive, as Mary had said, they feared that Jesus would hunt them down in anger and harm them over their desertion after the Last Supper. Yet when he arrives, he bids them peace and tells them that they are to be sent out into the world just as the Father sent Jesus into the world. And these were the first words Jesus spoke to his students. They were the most important words for them to hear. Seeing their teacher would have probably been pretty shocking. For Jesus to be speaking among them would have been most unbelievable. So, as if to dispel their doubt that he is the master, Jesus shows them his side where the sword had been run through, and he displays his hands to them so that they can see the holes left by the nails. I suppose we'd all want proof that a loved one who died was truly standing before us, alive as ever. We all have doubts, don't we? What Jesus does next, though, is not just odd, it's quite puzzling. He breathes on them. He blows his breath into their lungs. He's sharing the breath of life with them, my friends. He's sharing the Holy Spirit with them. Now, you may well remember that in Hebrew, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also known as Ruach. which means breath, wind. So Jesus' breath is the wind of the living God, the Ruach. And his act is a sort of Pentecost, which is where we are in today's second reading from Acts. The wind on that day was far from a single human breath, though. It was fuller and more ferocious and fraught with high energy. Maybe it was like the wind caused by a bomb detonating over the ground or pushed outward when the engines ignite and begin to unleash a rocket from the Earth's gravity. There is no way people can stand up to such force. No doubt the Holy Spirit is at least that vast and that tremendous. So that great wind's surreal nature could easily have caused fear among those gathered. And like Jesus appearing in that locked room, this wind seemed to come out of nowhere. I cannot imagine who would have been more confused, those who began speaking in tongues or those who listened and watched them. It's really good that Peter was able to make sense of the whole scene to everyone. In the last chapter of Luke, he'd been present when Jesus came to the 11 and, after eating fish with them, told them, and I quote, "It is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations." And after that, Jesus promised those men that he was sending what the Father had promised, the Holy Spirit. And now the Ruach has just whirled through. Everyone is anxious and confused. So Peter works to calm and assure them that what has just happened is God's promise being fulfilled. First, he reminds them that they are all fellow Jews, fellow Israelites with him. Well, yes, he points out the wickedness of certain religious leaders, which in the way it's translated comes out the Jews, but he isn't rejecting the rest of the tribe from brotherhood. Peter is saying that they're all part of God's family, and those are comforting words. Next, he asks them to remember the wisdom of their ancient king, David. He quotes David's word from Psalm 16, which prophesy the Messiah. God is our protector at our right hand. God keeps God's promises. God's presence fills us with joy. Those words are also reassuring. And then Peter reminds everyone that, like us, but unlike Jesus, David died and was buried. And he returns to Psalm 16's wisdom to remind those gathered round that God would not abandon the Messiah to the grave, nor would his body decay. Peter's telling them all this to soothe their souls and to help them overcome their doubts in the presence of God and in the kingship of Jesus Christ. And it's here when the disciple, Peter, proclaims Jesus' good news. God raised Jesus to life and gave him the Holy Spirit. Jesus' resurrection is not a resuscitation, as was the raising of Lazarus. That man, Lazarus, may have been revived, but he would, in the end, die as all living things do. Except Jesus, who is, yes, fully human, but also fully God. For Jesus' death, resurrection, and the exaltation that is to come proclaim that God's purpose cannot be undone by any evil, human action, or even death itself. Remember in Genesis, as we watched as God created the heavens and the earth and all life? But at the end of the sixth day, God's work of creation wasn't completely finished. He may have rested on the seventh day. But in truth, Jesus' resurrection, God was creating life anew, life eternal. And this ever-faithful, all-powerful God was pouring out God's Spirit upon all who were present on that festival day in Jerusalem. God was calling for all to believe that creation was a continuing action. God was showing God's children that through Jesus' work, there was hope for all humankind. Nothing that we can say or do, or nothing that anyone else can do, can separate us from God. The wind of the Holy Spirit was evidence of the enduring love the Creator has for this creation. Jesus' breath flowing into the disciples' lungs was more evidence of that love. Two different occasions, two different groups of people, all experiencing one Holy Spirit. According to John's Gospel, the disciples had felt abandoned, that there was no longer any hope for a bright future. They were hiding in a locked room, for heaven's sakes, scared. But through the gift of the Holy Spirit, they would never need feel abandoned again. And through the rush of the Holy Spirit 50 days later, followers from throughout the Holy Land were included in God's promise. That's all fine, well, and good, though. But it was 2,000 years ago. What's the difference now? At the beginning of today's message, we remembered what happened in Louisville, not far from the Presbyterian Center. The sadness hits a little closer to home when you know that. The center is where the offices for the General Assembly is located. That event is only an example of the grief-filled situations that occur in our world today. In the first 106 days of 2023, there have been 140 mass shootings. Most do not make the local newspapers, but those who suffer through them still wonder, why do these fearful things happen? Where was God when that occurred? Is God still present with us on earth? Does God even care about us? Is there a God? We may never know the whys, but there can be no doubt that many people have been injured and others are no longer on this earth in those situations. So where is God in times like these? We have experienced some fierce winds these last few months, haven't we? But none left us believing God's Pentecost Spirit was blowing us around. And Jesus has not breathed directly on us as he did to 10 of the disciples that very first day. Remember, like Thomas, we were not there. My friends, there is often more fear and sadness than joy in life. Doubting the reality of a living God is tempting. But here's the thing. Doubt is a very human response to that which seems unbelievable. But doubt is also the pathway to faith. When we doubt anything, including God, We probe and we question and we search, as did Thomas. And Jesus himself answered Thomas's doubt. But Jesus is not physically with us here. So what are we to think? The last verse of the John reading offers us encouragement when we experience terrible moments. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet come to believe. There is hope. Even when we doubt God's presence among us, we don't have to see Jesus to believe he is with us. In spirit, he is always there by our side. And he offers us hope for new life, that his peace will always be with us. And that is very good news. Peace be with you. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 316, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen.
Let us pray. Resurrecting God, we live in a world filled with doubt. without, yet in you we witness all the reasons for faith. The green lace that edges barren tree branches in spring. The sound of birds who migrate through this place as they make their way to northern nesting grounds. The fragrance of fresh rain. The quiet of warm evenings after breezy days. The love of family and friends. For this and so much more, we thank you from the depths of our hearts. Yet our hearts are often filled with doubts about family members, finances, our health. We ask that you lift these burdens of our hearts and guide us into the future you have planned with confidence and hope. Help us to remember that when in doubt, you are always close by, ready to listen to our fears and sadnesses, ready to teach us to trust you and trust that in you all will be well. Teach us that you are always present to us, ready to share in the relationship that you so want with us, your earthly children. And teach us how to be present to you, our heavenly parent. Your son Jesus taught us to trust that you will hear our concerns when we lift them to you, and so we do so now. We pray for the church universal. Breathe on it the peace of your Holy Spirit as Jesus breathed your peace on the first disciples. We especially lift up the religious orders and leaders who are loudly disagreeing with one another at Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Guide them into your peace. And we pray for our Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Cambridge congregations as they consider formally joining together in one ministry. We pray for the globe that you created as good and that we have scarred and muddied. Help us to learn and apply ways to heal the wounds we have made and how to purify the waters we have polluted so that new, healthy life of all types might continue to populate this beautiful blue sphere. We pray for the peoples of the world. Guide their leaders so that they rule with compassion and offer hope to all, regardless of their class and color, race, gender, or ability to function in society. We especially pray for the peoples of Turkey and Sudan, whose leaderships seem to overlook their people's needs. We pray for the poor, the powerless, the hungry, the homeless. Surround them in your tender care that they might feel hope for their futures. We pray too for the ill, the infirm, the unstable, and those who grieve. Let them know you are always holding them close so that they might not suffer needlessly. Remind us that your Holy Spirit is ever present with us, O Lord, and that our doubts and questions are actually welcomed, no matter how challenging they may be. Help us to know we can always talk to you when we are distressed, and that you will always listen and hear us, just as you hear us now as we say the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 118, The Day of Resurrection.
doors were locked that day, Jesus still appeared. Jesus was still there. And he said to those who were sitting there in fear, he said, "Peace be with you." He knew they had doubts. He knew they had fears. But he said, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me now, I send you." Peace can give us courage. It can give us hope. It can make us strong and willing to unlock the doors of our hearts and to go out and do as Jesus has said. So therefore, I also say, peace be with you. Go out into the world knowing that you never go alone. That the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community of the Holy Spirit that has been poured out upon us goes with you each and every day. Peace be with you. Amen.